There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
B-Pod Studios.
You don't have to lift a finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich.
No way.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Billy Jaffe from Nesson is in studio. He can be at Pucks and Paddles.
Yes.
So you could bid on him in the future. A man who once fought a bear.
Yep.
Billy Jaffe.
Mm-hmm.
You still take your father out there to Montana?
We haven't been there for a couple of years. We're talking about doing one more. I think I'd like to go back to Alaska. I would. I'd like to do one more big, either that or Nova Scotia with him. There's a fly fishing area, but then to go to Cabot Links and play golf out there. It's supposed to be spectacular.
Fly fishing is so damn frustrating. Like, I mean, I know that, isn't it? Because it's not just like regular fishing where you can just throw it in there wet. Like,
it's different. But especially if you're in tight streams or if you're in small creeks. But on the other, it's maddening at times because you can get wind knots and everything, and you want to have one of those moments where you. But on the other hand, when you get into it and you get into a rhythm and you're just working it, it's awesome. There's no more euphoric fishing for me, and I understand some people don't like it.
Oh, it pisses me off. I love fishing. Fly fishing pisses me off.
Do you ever you make your own
tie my knot flies? No.
You got your own flies there?
I buy
them. You got a little place in your garage where you meticulously put them together?
I have such fat fingers and bad eyes now. Happy birthday. Do you need cheaters yet or no? Cheater glasses?
I'm going to.
Well, so you've held off. Like I held off till I was 43
because so. So I have contacts and glasses because I've always been nearsighted since college. I've been nearsighted. And now if I'm reading something and then I look up at the TV, like it takes like a couple seconds for my eyes to adjust.
But that's for far then. So you're okay for reading still.
Yeah, but I read better without glasses on.
Okay.
You got to get those glasses that have the magnet in the middle where you can hang it over your shoulder.
That's
what
fishermen do. They need it because they don't lose them, right?
Sure, yeah.
I can't tie flies because fat fingers and then bad eyes. I have a hard time now because I only fly fish once, if I'm lucky, one time a year. Mm-hmm. It's come to that now where I go there and the first day or two, it's like I'm adjusting to when I tie it to put the fly back on the line. It's like, oh my God, I can't see anything anymore.
I'm fly fishing next month.
Where?
Marathon.
Nice.
Come on now. Right there on a fly, the flats boat.
Nice, yeah. I've never done that kind of fly fishing. I'd like to try it.
Oh, yeah. You know what the captain, he goes like 2 o'clock, and then you...
Yeah. You can see him. I know.
Those little efforts chase him. And then if you get sick of it, you just use a crankbait. Boom. Oh. Oh, Billy, the places I've gone.
Yes.
One day you'll get there.
I doubt it.
All right. So we're talking about the Bruins, and we're talking about...
Go ahead. I heard your thing with Gorman. I love it. It's when I drive in, I hear that. And it's interesting that he brought up the whole effort thing. You guys did as well with the Celtics.
Yeah.
I can think of one or two games this year where you're like, the Bruins have had effort. The effort's always there. Always there. It's just interesting. And now the expectations were still high for this team, but not as high as the Celtics, no doubt about it.
Sure.
But it's just interesting how you hear that contrast. Or that dichotomy of one team that is having a hard time with their effort. The Bruins, I don't question their effort. Sometimes you question execution. That's part of sports, though.
Mm-hmm.
But their effort, I mean, they put it on the line. Remember when they were missing all those guys 6 weeks ago? Holy smokes, did they have put it on the line every night.
Well, think about it. I mean, do you take the I bet it's just like basketball. I mean, Gorman was saying that the team takes the personality of your best player. And Bergeron, obviously, mm-hmm. is a guy that you don't want to disappoint someone like that. Like, when he's on your team, it seems that there's a standard that you have to live up to. And when he wasn't there, you had Marchand, who's never taken a day off in his life, it seems like.
Well, yeah, and let's not forget that other players out of the lineup, like Achara, who is the beast of all beasts with regard to effort and workout, and Kevin Miller, the same thing. I mean, Kevin Miller is unbelievable with his work ethic, and so are all these other guys. So that resonates throughout the room, even when they're not on the ice. So, yes, then the other guys that are still there want to make sure they don't let them down. They keep the team pride up. And that, to me, is it was just interesting listening to that, hearing Mike talk about that a few times. I don't get to watch the Celtics that much.
It's the first year in a long time that you can say that about the Celtics. That's been the calling card of Brad Stevens ever since he's been here, was that say what you will about the level of talent on this team,
yeah,
but the effort was always
so
there.
So what changes then? You bring in too many superstars or too much
big,
personality?
Big heads and expectations.
Okay. I mean, since the young players had so much success
yep.
last year, and then now you have like veterans complaining about things, and they're probably like, screw you. I mean, we went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. All right.
Yep.
So we talked to DeBrusk yesterday, and Cassidy had kind of called him out.
Big time. Yeah.
Yeah. So what exactly has been DeBrusk's problem? Why I think is he being called out?
Well, Bruce, like any coach, when he finds something he doesn't like, he's going to let them know. Bruce has got a strong vocabulary, he's got a sharp tongue, but he's fair. He talks to the guys about it. What he said to the media isn't any different than he said to Jake. He addressed right. it. What's he unhappy with? There's been an inconsistency to Jake's game that they feel with regard to winning battles, getting to the front. Now, he's gotten to the front a few times, and remember, he got a few big deflections and scored some goals, but it hasn't been a shift in, shift out, what he felt, consistent result. And it's not that Jake DeBrusk isn't trying. It's maybe he's just not trying the right way, the smartest way.
He's pressing.
Well, that's part of it. Learning how to take that emotion of pressing and to take that energy that you put into feeling of it. It's no different than any of us when we're pressing. Take that energy out of that moment and put it into something productive. It's hard to do for these kids, especially. Meaning, take that deep breath and say, you know what? Instead of me just thinking I have to shoot when I get the puck, just go out and skate. Mm-hmm. And whatever, go with the flow type of thing. And I know it sounds so easy sitting here, but it's just what you tell. It's what these kids need to do. Jake is pressing because Jake he's gotten good results at times lately, but it hasn't been the kind of consistent results that he feels is part of his responsibility, Fred, as part of the top six right. forwards on this team.
Well, that's a problem. And Mark from Medford, the big hockey guy here.
Okay.
You got to put him on. Hey, Mark.
What's up, Mark?
Good morning, guys. First of all, happy birthday, Fred.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Secondly, Billy, the rumors are still floating around out there mm-hmm. about the, Boston and St. Louis looking to make some kind of move with each other. Now, the names that keep popping up are Vladimir Tarasenko and Braden Schenn. Now, depending on what St. Louis wants in return for either one of these guys, who would you be willing to part with from the Bruins to get either one of these guys? But which one would you think be a better fit on the Bruins?
All right. Explain. Thank you. Explain, first of all, the two guys that they might be looking at from St. Louis.
Okay. Let me.
Not everyone knows.
Right, right. Let me back up one second. St. Louis was awful for a long time this year, and all of a sudden, they did lose last night in overtime. They're 3-0-1 in their last four. All of a sudden, St. Louis is 2 points four points out of a playoff spot in the West. When the year began, St. Louis had made some big deals in the offseason, some really big deals, and they felt they were in a prime spot, Fred, to make a move to be a legit contender in the West. They've been crappy this year. They fired their coach, et cetera. Now they're starting to get their goaltending has been awful. Lately, it's been better. So they're close again. Does that change the feeling of the coaching, of the management? Doug Armstrong? Don't know. The players that you bring up, or he brings up, Vladimir Tarasenko, Russian winger, kind of a bull or a bear of a player out there, phenomenal shot. I would not always say last year in the best shape. Sometimes would take two extended long shifts, but one of those high-end shooter goal scorers that can bring it from 30 feet out better than a lot of guys can. Okay. To call him a dynamic 200-foot player, I wouldn't go there, though. Braden Schenn, by the way, Tarasenko's a winger, and his nickname, and Tank, okay? Braden Schenn, centerman, St. Louis Blues, good 200-foot centerman. Likes to be, I do know this about Braden, you know, he likes to feel like he's big-time part of the mix. It'd be interesting if a guy like that comes here because in you know, in theory, you would think he'd be the third line. But if I think if you said to him, if you communicated with him, you say, look, you're the big-time third line guy here that's going to make a difference between us being a very good team and a great team, I think he would relish that role. Makes about $5 million a year. Can play power play. Did it last? I mean, does it? You know, can play power play, can kill penalties. I think that guy, I mean, Tarasenko carries, I don't have his number in front of me. It's a big number. It's big, give or take $8 million a year. Schenn is less. I think that, I mean, to me, you know, you say, well, you get Tarasenko for a couple of years to play on the wing with Krejci. I don't know. I love that Schenn in the middle down there. All of a sudden you say, whoa, look at what you got here. You got three strong, strong centermen. Who do you give up?
Okay, so Sweeney has come out and he's said, you know, hey, we gave up a first round pick last year. And I don't think you can fault the move because Nash got hurt.
Right.
But
Tarasenko, by the way, 7.5 a year for the next 4 years.
Okay, so they're not going to do that. All right, so, but it, what do you, like,
what do you give up?
He was like, it feels bad to give up a first round pick.
Right.
Like, it's not something you want to do a lot.
Right.
So, could they get Schenn without giving up a first round pick?
I do think so. Okay. I think they're going to, you know, they take some salary. Now, would they have to give back a little bit of salary? Yes. But remember, a first round pick, there's also ways of looking. You don't have to give up actually a number one. You can say, well, listen, you know, whether it is one of your young players that trend or project by the other team to be a first round pick, I'm just throwing a Heinen, a Donato, you know, one of those, one of your defensemen. I mean,
yeah, because Moore's been a healthy scratch now for a while. So they
last have, two games,
so
right?
They have a glut.
Right. They have him, and there was a question between him and Matt Grizzlick. I mean, the way that Matt Grizzlick plays right now, okay, the way that he plays, you'd say first round pick, the amount of minutes and everything.
Right.
So there's also guys in the minors, and then there's also prospects that you can use. They're not looking to move anybody off their top six or
you
top five.
They can't,
right. And they really don't want to take anybody off their D, but that's their most valuable commodity right now is 1D.
All right. We will be back with Billy Jaffe, 617-779-0985.
Tucker and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Tucker and Rich. Zolak has been parading around the station with a head of iceberg lettuce and a cucumber.
Yep. What is that all about?
It's the least nutritious.
See? I'm eating healthy.
That's what that is.
It's the least. Is it iceberg lettuce?
Yeah, it's iceberg lettuce in a cucumber. There's like absolutely no nutritional value.
None.
I think if you eat a thing of lettuce, you might as well just have like drank a glass of water.
Right.
Yeah.
Same thing with a cucumber.
I thought a cucumber actually like had some value.
Cucumber has minimal value.
Okay,
minimal
value. I'm not eating a ton of cucumbers. So
trust me, as someone who's tried to find every shortcut in the world,
that is strange. Why is he doing that? Is it because like this is his lunch and he just wants to show the world?
He is doing Awaken 180.
Yeah.
And apparently it's big on iceberg lettuce and cucumber.
Okay.
It's water because it fills you a little, and then it gets through you quicker.
Okay, I get that.
But there's not a lot of fiber in iceberg lettuce.
I didn't say it gets you that way. I mean, it's like water. So,
well, I didn't say it's high. It's low in calories, but I don't know. It seems a big head of, but it's like a head of iceberg lettuce in like a foot long cucumber.
Well, if you eat a head of lettuce, I should say that you probably don't want to eat as much. Or like an entire head.
It just sounds so. I mean, I don't know.
But does he eat it like it's an apple? Just like holds it in his hand because obviously he's just walking around with it whole. He hasn't like chopped it up,
well,
right?
He eats the cucumber the long way.
Yeah,
that's what one guy said.
That's what he said. All right. Why the hell can't the Bruins beat the Capitals? Like we haven't talked to you since then.
I don't know. I do know. I mean, Braden Holtby has their number. He's in their head
for what? How many years now? 2014.
Many
since 12 when he was a rookie, and then the Caps beat the Bruins in that series. But since 14, literally. You know what? He's the better goalie. when these two teams play, doesn't matter who's in the other end, he ends up being the better goalie. And while the Bruins outplayed the Caps, and there was not a question they did not play him, I will say this. The Caps do get just enough, although they got their asses kicked last night. I don't know if you guys saw that. They got beat, was it 7-1, I think, in Nashville?
Who? Oh, Nashville?
Nashville crushed them. The Caps are exhausted right now, but still no excuse. They played hard against the Bees, and the Bees beat them with speed. But the Caps still get enough chances, Rich, high danger chances, we'll call them, on the inside.
Yeah.
And that's all they finish right there. Ovechkin's goal is a prime example. A little mistake, bang, he finishes.
Yep.
Bad goal. Halak admitted it. Bad goal. Backstrom goal. They finish, though. Why can't they beat them? There's every team and every player, I think, has that inexplicable or unexplained. I feel awesome doing that, playing against that team, and I feel like crap playing against that team. And sometimes you just can't explain it.
It's just been so
And
long.
Now it's just Braden Holtby. Seriously. I mean, yeah. It's Braden Holtby, and they finish.
And I know that that's why Cassidy threw Halak in there, because he was like, all right, well, with Tuukka, we've done it all this time.
Well, you look at Tuukka's numbers against them, and I thought he handled it the right way. And Halak has had very good success against the Caps in his career.
Except for that one goal, he looked good.
Looked really good. But it was that one goal.
Right, that's all that mattered in the end.
Right.
Yep, no 3-2 game. Right. Yep.
Right. All right. So there are phone calls that are more important than anything you would ask, John. Steve, go ahead.
Thanks, Billy. Thanks for taking my phone call. Don't you think it's time that they finally get someone to play with Krejci?
Yep. Yep.
It seems like they're all playing teams, and they just can't get that other goal. And wouldn't it be kind of if you look at potential trade targets, you got Shen, and I think Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, because Chiarelli is desperate because he's going to lose his job if they don't make the playoffs. Wouldn't you kind of entertain the thought? Yep. And maybe looking at those two guys, because they could play at wing this year and also be a solution for what's going to be a big problem when Bergeron and Krejci retire, because I don't see them having a top six center in the organization anywhere. And one other quick thing, I was very disappointed. The end of the Washington game on Orpik and Wilson were taking runs at Marchand, and no one stepped up on his behalf. That really bothered me. I'd like to hear your comments on that. Thank you, Billy.
I answered the phone. Yeah, well, that's a good point. Everybody should wish you a happy birthday, too.
No, you should say thank you.
with regard to Shen, I'm just looking up his numbers right now. He's got 9 goals, 24 points. Again, nobody on Buffalo has been, on St. Louis has been spectacular. He has 7 of his goals on the power play, 7 of the 9. So even strength hasn't had a lot. I think, though, on a better team, he'll fit in a better role. With regard to moving him to the wing, now Nugent Hopkins has played some wing, but when it's all said and done, and I couldn't agree with him more, that Edmonton, I mean, is a colossal. It's a failure how they put that team together.
Very similar to figure.
Before Peter got there, though, too. Before Chiarelli got there.
He certainly didn't help matters once he showed up. He just started throwing money around. He always does.
It hasn't worked. Obvious statement. I do think they need – I couldn't agree with them more. They do need to make a move for a winger now. They have to. Krejci can sometimes be a little, who's on my wing, who isn't on my wing. And Bruce and him have talked, and he's gotten himself, I think, to a pretty good spot. You cannot, you being the fan out there or anybody, deny that he wasn't spectacular when he was with Bergeron – when he was with Pastrnak and Marchand. I mean, he was all world – he was at that level again of
– Right.
And – I think he feels it. He knows it. And you know what? I want to see him with some. How many times on your show have I said, though, I think it's time. It's time to split up that big line. Put Krejci and Pastrnak together, Marchand and Bergeron together. This is not earth-shattering analysis. Others have said it. I've been saying it since the beginning of the year, though, too. You know, is it DeBrusk, Krejci, Pasta? Okay, then that means you find somebody for that right wing with Marchand and Bergeron. Is it Peter Cehlárik? The kid was called up yesterday. He's going to get a chance to play tonight. We don't know about the health of Chris Wagner. I think he'll play, but we don't know. They had practice yesterday. I was at the NHL Network, so I couldn't see and talk to certain people. Can Cehlárik be Peter Cehlárik 2 years ago where he came up and he was like, yes, this is what the expectations were for him. Or last year it was inconsistent. But is that the answer when it's all said and done? I don't know. But they need more speed on the wing with Krejci, and they need a guy who's going to retrieve pucks and finish. And they don't have it consistently enough on that right side. It's obvious. We've talked about it. They've got to go out and fix that. They need, I think, I've said it numerous times, a very good team. They are. They're a very good team. I like their D crew an awful lot when everybody's healthy like they are right now. Joakim Nordstrom gives them great depth up front, too. But they're missing that third-line center, and they'd love to see him get a regular winger that they give Krejci for more than 2 days to let him flourish.
Okay. Well, there you go. They're going to be making moves, you feel.
They have to.
Even though Tampa Bay is ultimately going to win the East.
Tampa has a chance to have the best regular season record in NHL history, correct?
Yep. Here's the thing. If you can't make a great move, Freddie, then I don't want him to do it. I don't want because of what you're talking about. But don't give up the farm, so to speak. But if they're too small of a window now with the Bergerons, with the Krejcis, with the Charas, to not take advantage, to go from being what is a very good team to try and be a great team. Go out and make a big move. Now, they say they don't want to do the first-round pick thing, but you've got assets. You've got assets that you can trade. It's going to have to be an aggressive move. Go out and do it. If you think your team can be great, go do it.
When's the trade deadline again?
25th. Feb 25th, 3 p.m. Eastern.
All right. So,
and then you can turn on the NHL Network like last year and nothing happens.
Sometimes. Well, at least it all happened before.
Yeah.
That's right. But at least they have 12 hours to kill just sitting there behind that desk.
Well, I just found out. I found out I'm working that day. Although,
oh, nice.
But I mean, I used to literally be on the air from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. in Toronto for 5 years in a row. And that was, you want to talk about a song and dance show. Oh, yeah. But this year I'm actually doing the NHL Tonight Show for, I think it's from 6 or 7 to 9.
Is that in Secaucus?
That is, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Billy going up to Secaucus.
I was just there. I just came back from it. It's glamorous, man. Don't let anybody else tell you that it isn't glamorous.
You fly there or you got to drive up there to Secaucus?
It depends on how many days I'm going to be. If I'm going to be just two or three, I fly because then I can zip in and out. If it's three to four or more, I drive because then I'm not stuck at the hotel.
Okay, you don't like to walk around Secaucus?
I'm not even. I'm actually in a sub area of Secaucus, so I stay in my little hotel area there.
Okay,
yes.
I was going to say they can't just put you in Secaucus.
I've got in no particular order. I've got a Red Lobster. I've got a hibachi place. I've got a place called Cups, which is an ice cream place, not to be confused with anything else. I've got a Dunkin', and I've got a movie theater, which, by the way, in all my time going there in the last couple of years, I've never gone. I don't go to movies alone.
You can't go to movie alone.
Movies, concerts, I'll do all of them alone.
Really?
Yes. Something about going to a concert alone where you can just enjoy the music and not have to talk to anybody.
But at least it's like light and there's a bar. A movie is you're just sitting there in the dark by yourself.
That's what you're doing at home. I mean,
I'm at home. I don't want to sit with my thoughts.
I
sit with your thoughts. I've yet to go to a movie. Lost.
I've yet to, but yes, Secaucus is, and then there's always Secaucus Junction train station. That's always fun too.
That's what Petticoat Junction was based on. That's one for the kids.
It's good living. If anybody wants to join the glamorous lifestyle, reach out to me.
All right. Yes. Well,
good to see you, fellas. Hey, big game tonight. And then tomorrow in Philly.
Yep.
Let's see what happens with the lineup. Let's see who comes out if Solaric plays. Could be David Backes coming out of the lineup. And then back home tomorrow for a 7 o'clock faceoff at home against St. Louis.
All right. Maybe they get some scouts there at the St. Louis game.
Well, they had three of them the other day. Yeah.
All right.
See you guys.
All right. See you, Billy.
Billy
Jaffe, a man who has once ran off a grizzly bear. Mm-hmm. In the plains of Montana. And that is a true story.
It is.
A man who once had a heterosexual man fall in love with him. A radio DJ.
True story.
That is true.
That is a true story.
I recorded that famous clip. Where's Jaffe? Jaffe?
There's like 18 nude chicks around him and he's looking for Jaffe. All right.
They didn't even give me any singles.
What do we have coming up? They don't want singles. Come on. You're better than that. All right. What do we have coming up there in the stack?
Oh, we have the lineup for the many Super Bowl parties that are going to be taking place in a couple of weeks.
Okay. You hear the headlines.
98.5, the Sports House.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, stack, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what have we not gotten to today?
Well, we know that everywhere the five goes, controversy follows. He knew this was going to happen.
I mean, it's like ridiculous now that the government's trying to shut them down.
That's why there's indeed a shutdown.
The PMRC is just like, The five are too sexy.
Too much sexy on one stage? I mean, can you imagine the complaints they're going to get at the end of the show? I thought Janet Jackson was bad.
Yeah, now it's just going to be chicks ripping their tops off and dudes just saying, hey, I feel strange. Why is this rumbling in my pants? There's just five dudes up there.
Well, for the longest time, there was the assumption that people did not want to guest on the stage with Maroon 5 because they're afraid they'd be blown off. But then there was this small contingent of people saying, no, it's because they don't like the NFL's stance on kneeling and what they've done in Conca. I choose to believe the former other than the latter. However, for the people who do think that that was the case, Travis Scott and Big Boi were announced to be the co-headliners, or special guests, as we all know, because no one co-headlines with the five. And we knew this was going to happen. Backlash towards Travis Scott and Big Boi, although Travis no one really cares about what Big Boi's doing right now.
What are they going to do to Big Boi?
Big Boi's just like,
Big Boi's made his money.
Sure.
What are you going to do to him?
So Travis Scott is dating one of the Kardashians.
Yeah, he is.
Mm-hmm. And he is getting a little bit of blowback. However, Travis Scott wants you to know that he did indeed talk to Colin Kaepernick before doing this. Now it's being revealed that Colin Kaepernick didn't quite agree with what he was doing. This is from Variety Magazine. It says, Scott and Kaepernick had at least one phone conversation before the rapper confirmed his Super Bowl appearance. A source close to Scott says that while the two did not necessarily agree, they emerged from the conversation with a mutual respect and understanding, with the rapper taking the stance that everyone makes a statement in their own way, and he also felt that the money that was going to be donated to the Dream Corps, which is where he's having $500,000 go towards it, combined with the platform provided by the Super Bowl, will do some good. The source said that Scott would not confirm his performance until the donation was locked up. Now, this organization has a close affiliation with Kim Kardashian West, the sister of Kylie Jenner, who Scott is, I guess he shares a daughter with. So Kardashian said
Kylie's like the dirty hot one, right?
All I know is that she's worth a zillion dollars. I mean, she might be worth more than any of the Kardashians.
Yeah, Kylie, I think, is the dirty hot one.
There's like a twin sister, right?
There's a model one who has
Kendall.
Yeah, and then there's Kylie, who is the most attractive by far. And then there's
Cooper.
There's Snuffleupagus.
There's the Cooper Manning of the Kardashians.
Sure, yeah. there's Snuffleupagus.
I don't even know who this person is.
It's Chloe.
Chloe looks good now, though, doesn't she?
Yeah, but, right. But she, you know who her father was. Certainly the same father of the other two.
Well, there was that one like hairdresser guy.
Okay, if you
and the picture is it's
no,
her.
No. Okay, it blows everyone's mind. There's a video up. It's easy to find, and it's the mother, like Jenner, and she did something for like her 30th birthday, where she goes like, "I love my friends," and then there's people going, "We love you," and then all of a sudden, like towards the end of it, there's a hairdresser who goes, "We love you." And you're like, oh, Lord.
That is the father
of Chloe. There is not a doubt that is the father of Kourtney Kardashian. And like, all of a sudden, she's like 7 feet taller than everyone. Her head's the size of a watermelon.
Right. It's like this hairdresser who looks like Lou Ferrigno just shows up.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, well, there.
He's got a giant head and... yeah. Kourtney Kardashian. You know the chisels and... in advanced science that it took to make her look like that? They like flew her to Mars and had her on the space shuttle.
In fairness, with all of the thousands of filters and probably what ends up being in every single photo taken of her, she does look good right now.
Yeah. Yep. Tristan Thompson good.
Kristen Thompson.
She's with Tristan Thompson.
Tristan Thompson. Oh, yeah. Tristan Thompson. I thought you said Kristen Thompson. Like, who's she? Yeah, so there you go. And you know that obviously afterwards he's going to get a lot of crap, but... you all make your own choices. Then, meanwhile, Big Boi's is like, I'm eating. All right. Yeah. Excellent.
Big Boi's, you know, move a little bit more product.
Well, speaking of Big Boi, of course, a resident of Atlanta, which means that now is throughout the time where they announce all the Super Bowl parties that are going to be thrown. And going through some of them, you know, first of all, there's like two or three that are massive. As a matter of fact, the Foo Fighters are going to be playing at this place right down the road called Atlantic Station. They're going to make like a big outdoor theater. Aerosmith is going to be there as well.
Oh!
Which should be fantastic. But now let's go to some of the lesser ones, including the Mike Vick and Friends at the Super Atrium with Lil Duval, Big Tigger,
Don't not to be confused with Little Tigger. Baby You, DJ Peanut, and DJ Nasty 305. And seeing Mike Vick around town is kind of like seeing Lenny Clark here in Boston. Like, if you live in Atlanta, the dude's just eating soup next to you at or any restaurant you go to. I mean,
doing comedy at a pizza place.
Right. He's whatever the Atlanta version of Giggles is, he is there constantly whenever you go there. And now then you've got the Celebrity Super Slam. And when you think celebrity, you think hosted by Chad Ochocinco. That would be Chad Ochocinco, Johnny Blaze, Rich Homie Quan.
It's at a Long John Silver.
That is actually at Morehouse College, which is going to be there. How about the Super First Friday hosted by Dougie Fresh at the Infinity Lounge?
There's nothing sadder.
Dougie Fresh?
Is it like Big Daddy Kane and Slick Rick and stuff?
A lot of these are, yes. Now, there's, of course, the annual Ditka and Jaws Cigars with the Stars, where you get to smoke a cigar with Ron Jaworski and have him bore you with all 22 talk.
I was just going to say, do you have to watch film with him?
And you see a surly, drunk Mike Ditka not wanting to be around you.
Right.
Remember, it was like $5,000 to get into that thing or something?
Oh, yeah. And like, there was like a... you could watch it live. There was a live video stream. And when we tried to watch it, no one was there.
Yeah.
It seemed like no one showed up. Then it gets interesting. We know where RKK might end up being, and that is at the Champions Super Bowl show, which has got Meek Mill, his friend, and Devonta Freeman. They will be there.
Yeah, that's cool with me.
The Players Tailgate with Guy Fieri and Sage Steele. It doesn't get much cooler than that.
They do that every year. It's a rocking good time.
That they do.
Throw your ties out the window.
How about Shaq's Funhouse? He'll be there with Lil Jon. Lil Jon of Celebrity Apprentice fame.
Yeah, Lil Jon.
Lil Jon's still kicking it.
Yeah. Why is he there? Why don't they just
because he's just there. He's in Atlanta.
Why don't they just say Shaquille O'Neal?
By the way, looking through, I've seen Lil Jon's name in about six of these parties.
Mm.
Lil Jon's cashing in. Lil Jon's
he's filling his pockets with pigs in a blanket.
That's how he gets paid.
That's how he's
anything
eat.
On the table
dinner
fair
for
game.
The next week.
That's how he's going to eat for the next month. He's going to put Ziploc bags in his pockets.
Yeah. The best ones are the ones that say featuring special celebrity guest. And it says like place to be announced.
Oh, yeah.
That party's never going to happen.
No.
That's somebody who's hoping that you buy tickets for in advance and then they use that money to book whatever guest it is. And then if you don't, then you're just screwed. And then there's the EA Sports Bowl, which usually brings out the biggest names. And in that, you got Ludacris and Friends with Lil Yachty. Not Big Yachty, because then
Little Yachty is very famous.
Well, I mean, it's insane.
You know he is.
Ludacris and Friends. Ludacris is famous.
Yeah,
and he's from Atlanta.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be on the radio.
By the way, Aerosmith is. You know, his opening for Aerosmith, Post Malone.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe they'll go on stage together. Who
Post
knows?
Malone making a lot of good choices
with his tattoos.
Yep.
No, I don't mind Post Malone. I actually don't.
I don't care about it. I mean, Post Malone's fine, but I just, these guys that are getting tattoos on their faces.
And Stitches immediately just calls him out, writes a diss track about him.
Well, Stitches was the first.
Well, I mean, listen, he had an AK-47 on his face, ho, so you know he don't bring no pistol.
Like, how can you, it's bad enough when you get a crappy tattoo and you got to live with it, like, on your leg. Like, why the hell are you tattooing your face?
I know.
And now it's going to become something that you... Like kids are going to do.
Yeah.
Like kids are going to start tattooing their faces.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He doesn't shoot a pistol. He doesn't need that.
No, of course not.
He's got automatic weapons.
But you know what he loves doing?
I love selling blow!
He loves selling blow. By the way, have you seen Stitches lately?
No.
He just said, I'm eating.
Yeah. I'm going to let my hair go as far out as possible, and I'm going to get fat.
He said, I'm just, you know what? I'm eating.
Yep.
Well, that's what happens. It's the blow game went away because he was getting too high profile. So
I love selling blow.
His metabolism went way down.
Yeah, and I guess it does that.
It happens.
It does. It's nothing like quitting cocaine to put on a few pounds.
All right, and the two stories that came out yesterday that have gotten people all over the internet really upset for reasons I can't figure out. The first one is the new Gillette commercial that came out. Have you seen it?
I have not. Okay, I've read about it.
Okay, so this Gillette commercial came out, and it's about, you know, is this the best a man can get? And it shows these guys,
you know, these boys like wrestling and fighting, like boys will be boys. And then finally someone steps in and goes, hey, this isn't the way we should act. And then there's like a bunch of bullies chasing a child and someone steps in and goes, hey, you don't need to be doing that. Some guy who's like leering over like a woman and like trying to grab her ass. And the guy's like, dude, that's, you know, what are you doing? And for some reason, people on the internet have lost their mind to the point where they're taking pictures of their Gillette razors in the toilet. And to that I say, okay, you're going to have to do one of two things here. You're going to have to either try to flush that thing
and get a plumber. And it's
going
to cost you $150.
Or two, you're reaching in that toilet to get that thing back out.
Yeah.
So either way,
so
you
what,
win
what
the
is
day.
The reason? Is it like some, like, because it's like a false.
They're saying
depiction
that men are born animals and that we have to try to. Gillette doesn't need to tell us to be this way. We're not born animals. Like, anyone who possibly gets offended by that commercial.
Well, they also don't like the commercials or any kind of after school special.
Of course.
They get very upset.
And the other thing is that people are very upset because Jason Reitman, the son of Ivan Reitman, the guy who was behind the original Ghostbusters movie, is making a sequel to the original Ghostbusters. And people are pissed because they're saying, oh, this is just a slap in the face to the girl Ghostbusters movie. You're saying it wasn't good enough. So now you got to do it all on your own. And he just goes, no, I just always want to make a Ghostbusters movie. Like, my dad made this film.
Or how about if he just went, yeah. the movie didn't do well. It was poorly reviewed. Mm-hmm. And I don't like it.
And I kind of want to, like, do, like, I want to save it. And he's like, you know, I love what Paul Feig and these great female comedians
Paul
did.
Paul Feig.
Is it Feig? Okay. Yes. I never know how to pronounce it. Because I like what he did with it, but this is going to start in the same universe as, like, in this movie, Bill Murray and all those guys existed. All of that stuff happened. But people are upset that this is being made because it's a direct slap in the face of the female-led
that
Ghostbusters.
Female Ghostbusters thing just got so funny.
It was pretty good. Oh, you mean the outrage? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the outrage was great.
I'm not supposed to talk for a little bit.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Tell that next one, but we got to talk about another commercial.
Yeah,
I got a real problem with.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln is not a sponsor at the station, correct? Not Lincoln people.
Really. Are you talking
maybe
about
something that's maybe
the new one where he's shooting
Matthew
pool
McConaughey? That one is shooting some stick at some house, and
right? We talked about this.
Leaves, and then he does some trick shots by himself.
Yeah.
Then gets in a car and leaves. Makes me not want to buy a Lincoln.
Well, there's the great.
I agree.
I cannot detest.
Can't figure
a commercial.
It out.
Well, and I like there are a lot of bad commercials. Like, I want to punch my TV and ruin my TV.
The best one, though, is he, like, he pulls into a driveway.
All right.
He opens up a door, and there's this, like, dude standing there.
Yeah.
And then, like, he goes in.
He's got the white shirt on.
And then he comes out, and his, like, yeah, and his
cuffs are undone.
His tie is
unbuttoned.
Down.
Like,
what happened in there?
Exactly.
He banged him.
I know he is.
Yeah. By the way, Fred, Photoshops are coming in of your picture, and they're really good.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Someone put a Grateful Dead beanie on your head.
Me bald looks better than what I have. Hey, everybody. Fred, what kind of haircut do you want? Oh, Hitler.
That's what I mean.
It does. It looks like Hitler's haircut.
And I've never seen your hair look like that.
I've never seen my
promo.
Hair look like that either. And it looks like I have a comb over. I can't win or lose. It's a catch-22. You want to be Hitler or you want to be a comb over?
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at Awaken180WeightLoss.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and PowerTee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.